Hi, this is Damien from OK Go, and you are listening to WMUC.
Hello, this is Mark Noon from the Slicky Boys, and I'm over here turning knobs and wrecking the place in the studios. And this is WMUC FM College Park.
From the Blue Ridge to the Bay, it's Watershed. Many people like to eat crab cakes as well as soft and hard shell crabs in the summer. But here's something to think about. It is estimated that 75% of the adult stock of blue crabs is removed from the bay each year by harvesting. It takes three of these crabs to make one crab cake alone. This harvest occurs at the peak of the blue crab summer mating season. Even though a female can lay up to 8 million eggs, only a few will survive to adulthood. Blue crabs are the most important fishery of the Chesapeake Bay. If people want to keep eating them, they must make sure there are enough blue crabs left to reproduce and sustain their populations.
Watershed is a presentation of the Maryland chapter of the Sierra Club. For more information, call
301-277-7111.
Too much, and boys are too tough. Enough is enough.
Do you like the outdoors? Join the Maryland Adventure Program. This is a student-powered adventure that promotes personal growth and overall wellness. You can tackle a 50-foot wall through rock climbing or gather a group of friends to experience the challenge course. To get more information, log on to crs.umd.edu/Maryland Adventure Program.
Hello and good morning, everybody. You are listening to WMUC Digital College Park, where college radio means good radio. I'm your host, Grace Adkins, and this is my show, Off the Shelf, which is every Wednesday from 10 to noon. Hi, everyone. I'm so sorry. I'm a little bit late. I can't even make a good excuse. But we're here now, and today is a very, very special episode. It's my favorite episode of the entire year. It is the finale of Our Love is in the Air. I've been doing this since freshman year. I do a two-parter Valentine's Day series, and I am so excited. I've got some answers to some questions I put up on Instagram. I've got some maybe secret messages that you guys will have to decode. I've got some stories. I've got some words of wisdom. And most importantly, we've got some good music. And while I get set up for the day, we're going to start off with a classic recommended by my dear friend Farah, who I love very much, on this Valentine's Day weekend coming up. And we're going to listen to Kiss Me by Sixpence None the Richer to get you all in the mood. And then I'll be right back.
Kiss me out of the bearded barley nightly, beside the green, green grass. Swing, swing, swing the spinning step. You wear those shoes and I will wear that dress. Oh.
All right. You guys just listened to Kiss Me by Sixpence None the Richer, one of my all-time favorites. Hello, everyone. I'm so excited. As I said last week, and I'm going to dive into it more this week, Valentine's Day is my favorite holiday of the entire year. It has been since I was a little kid, although Christmas is a close second. But I love Valentine's Day, not just because I love pink and red and, you know, receiving Valentine's from my classmates growing up, just all sorts of attention on just me. No, I'm just kidding. I love Valentine's Day because I think, I said this last week, it's just so heartwarming that we have a holiday in the middle of winter when it's so cold. It's all about love and warmth and appreciating the people around you. I also love Valentine's Day because, you know how, like, Halloween is a chance to kind of, like, dress as promiscuous as you want and no one can say anything. I feel like Valentine's Day, you can be as gushy and romantic as you want and no one can say anything because it's Valentine's Day. So, like, write that love letter, tell someone you love them, wear all red, you know, be silly. And that's kind of my theme for today, is that love makes us really stupid. And this is kind of based around an essay that I wrote for a tragedy class that I took last semester, a class like on tragedies and stuff like that in literature. And I read The End of the Affair by Graham Greene, which immediately became one of my favorite books of all time. I like cried as I was finishing it in ShopMade, like drinking a coffee at like 6 p.m. And it's so good. And it's about these two lovers, Maurice and oh my God, what is her name? Sarah. Maurice and Sarah, and they're having an affair. Sarah's married. Maurice is having an affair with her, and they fall in love. And this is set during Great Britain in World War II, and there's a raid one night, and Maurice goes to see if everything's okay downstairs, and a bomb goes off. And Sarah is so terrified that he's dead that she, you know, like, makes this solemn promise to God. She's not a religious woman, but she, like, finds God in that moment and is kind of like, if he is alive, I will end this affair. Like, I will stop sinning. I will be good. Whatever, whatever, whatever. And he's alive. So she, like, kind of, like, ghosts him, for lack of a better word. And then Tyrus, the novel, is him trying to, like, figure out, like, why? Like, why did she leave me so suddenly? Is there another new affair? Like, and he's kind of coming to terms with the fact that, like, this isn't just an affair for him. Like, he is in love with her. And part of what I wrote about is that lovers, you know, reveal something so true about the human experience. And the quote that stood out to me most throughout the entire novel was that, is Maurice's initial ruminations on love, where he kind of says, "For aren't lovers nearly always innocent? They have committed no crime. They are certain in their own minds that they have done no wrong. As long as no one but myself is hurt, the old tag is ready on their lips. And love, of course, excuses everything. So they believe. And so I used to believe in the days when I was loved." So, right, like, this feeling of being in love kind of, like, is this ultimate excuse in all of our minds. Like, it's like, well, we're in love. And, like, you know, to kind of use a more contemporary example, I feel like a lot of the time in college, like, your friends will start dating someone. And, like, it's very new. It's like maybe they're first, like, real serious relationship. Like, I know that people date in high school, but, like, you know, like, college is, like, your first real serious relationship. And I feel like a lot of my friends kind of have this, like, oh, like, they're spending so much time with, you know, with their boyfriend or their girlfriend instead of me, instead of us. They're not going out anymore, like, da 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 da. And it's kind of like this excuse of, like, well, they're in love, like, we should cut them some slack, like, kind of that. And then I continue to say, like, we tell ourselves whatever story we need to justify the means to the ends of love. Why do you think so many songs, novels, and movies revolve around the pain and joy of love? It requires a story and sin. Would religion exist if we're not sinners? Would love exist without the pain of heartbreak? Sarah, during her journey of becoming a Catholic, intrinsically discovers this. When she breaks off the relationship with Maurice and additionally no longer loves Henry, she admits, "And now I'm what they call good. I don't love anyone at all." Sarah is free from sin because she's committing no sin, but she also has no love in her life. nothing to live for except her new devotion to God. And isn't it true that being a saint is exhausting? When we are good, when we abide by all the rules, we lose much of our humanity. To be human is to sin, but to seek forgiveness and grace all the same, it is to offer up our hearts again and again, knowing most of the time they will be broken, but hoping all the same. Green also uses the symbolism of time to reflect on how love makes us ridiculous. Like religion and our own ideas of love, besides the inexplicable feeling of it, time is also a human construct. The opening line of the novel asserts, "A story has no beginning or end. Arbitrarily, one chooses the moment of experience from which to look back on or which to look ahead." Love, when we are in it, feels as though it transcends the human constraints of time. And St. Augustine goes on to say that time came out of the future, which didn't exist yet, into the present that had no duration, and went into the past, which had ceased to exist. I don't know that we can understand time any better than a child. You can't measure when love begins or ends because time warps when you are in it. Green knows this. Just as a story is arbitrary, so is time's relation to love. My parents have been married 29 years and still act like their young 21-year-old selves who got engaged too early because they wanted to start a life together. It's when you realize that a friend is no longer only a friend because, quote, you can never think of them as a friend. You can do without a friend. Love is awful. This kind of goes back to what we were talking about last week. It requires work. It requires heartbreak. It requires sin. It requires us to tell a story that does not always have a happy ending, but it is always worth it, despite the tragedy. This fact alone remains universally true. Graham Greene expresses it in a novel from 1951, and even I, in my idiotic 22-year-old epiphanies, reveal some semblance of truth about love and its relation to the human experience. All our choices really do boil down to love, for ourselves, for others, for life itself. And once we achieve it, we realize how it's all we need. Maurice, despite how much he claims he hates, describes love best. After finally reuniting with Sarah, he admits, "The slowly growing pain in my upper arm where her weight lay was the greatest pleasure I had ever known." Sorry to give you guys just a reading of my essay, but I just really wanted to talk about that and how love just makes us silly and stupid, and we do all sorts of things that we never thought we'd do. But sometimes the slowly growing pain in your upper arm where someone's weight lies is the greatest pleasure you've ever known. We're going to start out with some more music today with some of my favorite love songs. We're going to listen to three right now. We're going to listen to "This Girl's in Love with You" by Aretha Franklin, "Harvest Moon" by Neil Young, and "On and On and On" by Camp. And we'll be back after these three.
This girl's in love with you. just like children sleeping, we could dream this night away. But there's a full moon rising, let's go. I'm still in love with you. I want to see you.
I said to you, fit them in my heart so true. 1,000 miles from boy to farm, but it didn't feel that way at all. On and on and on, I'm yours. Yours. On and on and on, I'm yours. Standing on the edge with you, eyes of green and sky of blue. The while you try and guess, as your heart beats through your chest, is it real? Could it be true? Sparks fly as I think of you. All the freckles on your face tell me constellations don't stay in space. I'm yours. On and on and on.
Alright, you guys just listened to This Girl's in Love with You by Aretha Franklin, Harvest Moon by Neil Young, and On and On and On by Camp. Now, I asked you guys some questions about this Valentine's Day, and you had a lot of great answers. One of the first I asked was, would you consider yourself a romantic? I know I'm a very self-proclaimed romantic. And 80% of you said that you were a romantic. So hopefully you're tuned into the show because today's all about romance. But I asked you guys to describe your Valentine to me. And you guys had some really, really cute answers. The most amazing man in the world. So good, so kind, so sweet. I've never felt so safe. Serbian, but low-key a bot, but so sweet. And of course, my girls. I also asked what the best date you've ever been on is and why. And some of the answers include going to an art museum and he didn't mind when I read all the plaques and slowed down. I love that. That kind of relates to later. We're going to talk about love languages, but I think that, you know, words of affirmation is definitely a love language, but maybe so is listening. And I'm just such a rambler, so maybe I would just enjoy that. I remember me and, like, my mom went to an art museum a couple years ago and she let me like read every single plaque and like explain the art to her because like I'm a really big art history fan. It was my favorite class in high school. Like I really wanted to be an art history major, but then I was like, I don't think you can do anything with that degree. So big fan of that. Dinner and then a skyline of New York City, talked for 4 hours nonstop. Super cute. And then I asked you guys, what does being in love feel like to you? Two of your answers include
Woohoo! I can't tell if I'm going to start sobbing or puking, which I would agree. And like, they always give you butterflies even when you're comfortable with them. Both great answers. Next, we've got a few more songs. We're going to listen to three more. We're going to listen to Man I Need by Olivia Dean, which a bunch of you said anything by Olivia Dean is a song that you like to listen to when you're in love. At Last by Etta James. And Swim Between Trees by Flip Term. And then we'll be right back.
Yeah. I found a dream that I could speak to, a dream that I can call my own. I found a thrill to press my cheek to, a thrill that
self-expression, wag my tail with aggression, dumb or happy, that's a question. All our friends are Wednesday drinkers, makeshift shamans, overthinkers. If a problem starts to linger, point the way and suck the finger. Swinging our solution swords, made from steel we can't afford. I get pissed and say we're poor, then I get pissful to the floor. Yes, you have me on my knees, yes, you can do what you please, 'cause you bought into everything commercial as a cold foam cream. All this time I can't believe you're still coming home with me. My mind's a river draped with leaves and you're still swimming through the trees.
Okay, you guys just listened to Man I Need by Olivia Dean, At Last by Etta James, and Swim Between Trees by Flip Turn. At Last and Swim Between Trees have two of my favorite lines in love songs. Like, I love, in Swim Between Trees, it's like, I heard you hum your song and knew I'd never hum another, which I just think is so romantic. And then At Last is like one of my favorite love songs of all time. But I love the end where she goes, "You smiled. Oh, and then the spell was cast." 'Cause isn't that just so true? On the show Instagram, I asked you guys what your love language is. And I love talking about love languages. And if you don't know what they are, it's a concept developed by Dr. Gary Chapman, which is the idea that people tend to give and receive love in different primary ways. And when you express love in someone's preferred language, they feel more valued and understood. So you can, like, you might have a love language that you prefer giving and one that you prefer receiving and stuff like that. To kind of break it down, the first is words of affirmation, where love is expressed through words. This can be like compliments, encouragement, appreciation, verbal reassurance. So like words can really deeply uplift and harsh criticism can cut super deep. Acts of service is the second one. It's love is expressed through helpful actions. For these people, actions truly speak louder than words. They feel cared for when someone helps with chores, runs errands, fixes something for them, takes something off their plate, cooks dinner for them, cleans without being asked. Broken promises or laziness can feel like a lack of love to them. The third is receiving gifts or giving gifts. Love is expressed through thoughtful giving. This isn't about materialism. It's about thoughtfulness, where the gift represents, quote, "I was thinking about you," effort and intentionality. So this could be like bringing them their favorite snack, a small souvenir from a trip, a handmade item. Quality time is the fourth. And this is love is expressed through focused attention, where the person feels loved when you're fully present, engaged in conversation, doing something together. This can be like deep conversation, phone-free dinner, going for a walk together, distractions, multitasking, canceling plans, ignoring you can feel especially painful. And then the fifth is physical touch, where love is expressed through physical closeness. This includes hugs, holding hands, sitting close, affectionate touch. Physical distance or lack of affection can feel like rejection. So most people have one or two primary love languages, and you may express love differently than how you prefer to receive it. So these can apply to romantic relationships, obviously, but also to friendships, family, etc. Love languages are super cool. Some of your answers were cool too, because they went kind of beyond like the five primary, and you kind of like made some of your own. So for example, my friend Farah put making coffee, which I feel like that's maybe gift giving, or acts of service. Whenever I come over, Farah will always make me a nice coffee. Like, she never makes me do it for myself, which I always really appreciate. Acts of service and words of affirmation. A couple of you said gift giving. Like, my best friend from home, Sophia, said giving gifts that are meaningful. She loves Valentine's Day as well. It's her favorite. Quality time is on there a lot too. It's helpful to know like what your primary love languages are. For example, sorry. I feel like definitely quality time. I like just being with someone. Like, I always will like run errands with my friends, or like I don't mind sitting in silence. Like, I like just being around the people that I love. Like, I'm very comfortable with them. Like my mom, like I used to not be really that big of a hugger, or like really affectionate at all. Like, I'm very, like, honestly, like, it's funny. Like, I don't really like being touched. Like, I like my parents will have to initiate hugs and stuff like that. But my mom will be like, and my friends too, will be like, we can tell when you like either really, really like someone, or when like you're close with someone enough as friends, when you will be very like physically touchy with them. Like, 'cause I'm really not, but like if like I love someone, like I will be like all over them. And like even like with my roommates, like we're always all piled on the couch together. Like, there's like so many sitting places, but we want to be like right next to each other. But I feel like my primary is quality time. And then I also love giving and receiving gifts. Like, I love when like something's like, oh, this made me think of you. But yeah. But love languages are awesome, and you should figure out what yours are. And then that way you can be more romantic all the time. We're going to listen to a few more songs. I've just got two. We've got Born for Loving You by Big Thief and Estimated Delivery by Spacey Jane. A little bit of more indie rock for you guys, and then we'll be back.
When they stick around and won't go away, when it seems there's nothing you can do or say, nowhere you can turn, from the last breath of my first death to this lifetime and lifetimes left, congratulations, no regrets, it's true.
Of shitty art, something to look at with a happy heart. Add another couple to my cart. Estimated delivery a couple months, but I'm getting used to waiting for a long time.
I guess that's how it goes. I guess that's how it goes.
It's a 14-hour flight and there's no Wi-Fi.
Honey, I'm coming home.
Stop it.
All right, you guys just listened to Born for Loving You by Big Thief and Estimated Delivery by Spacey Jane. Next, we're going to get to one of my favorite segments for today, and that is, what is the best compliment that you've ever received? We just talked about words of affirmation. Coming with that is compliments. Now, I love getting compliments. My parents told me that when I was a baby, like, if you wanted to make me smile, like, you would just have to be like, oh, like, you're so beautiful. You're so beautiful. And I would, like, light up. So I've always enjoyed getting comments. My friend Farah and I, this is like third time I've mentioned Farah. I hope she's listening. But my friend Farah and I just did a speech for like sorority recruitment. And in it, we wrote like kind of letters to one another that we read to each other like we hadn't seen them before. And in Farah's letter, she brought up something that I don't even remember saying. But she was like, you once told me that you think everyone is a little bit in love with you. And I was like, well, maybe that's true. And I'm a little bit in love with everyone because I believe that people are intrinsically good and capable of change. So, you know, I'm a romantic. What can I say? But I asked everyone what their favorite compliments that they've ever received are. And some of the answers include, you're the sunshine in so many people's lives, that I'm an old soul, don't ever change, that I have a good heart, and that I smelled good. Smelling good is the best compliment. Like, all these are great. I love when people tell me that I smell good. I also have a really deep fear of smelling bad, though. But I wanted to share my favorite compliments I've ever received. I have five locked and loaded from an assortment of people. I think I've told this story before on the show, but when I was 18, I went to Greece with my like three high school best friends. They're still like my home best friends. I love them dearly. Some of them might be tuned in. For part of the trip, we lived on a sailboat and we had a captain who's this like old Greek man. Super nice guy, like got us to try Vegemite. But he was saying one night to my friend's mom about the four of us, he's like, all four of these girls are so beautiful, they're gonna do such great things, but Grace is gonna become such a beautiful woman and she's not even gonna recognize it until the day that it happens. And that just like struck me, and I've never been able to forget it since. The second was, someone said that I've earned my names in countless ways, and this is from my parents, and that in the same way a coach wants their kid to take a game-defining shot because they know she'll be okay.